When you think of the most dangerous places in the world, Syria or Afghanistan might come to mind. But Honduras has the highest murder rate in the world. Nearly 40% of the cocaine consumed globally passes through its borders. And the Central American country is home to thousands of gang members, many of whom got their start on U.S. city streets. Last week, though, there was a hopeful development suggesting even the most hardened criminals may have had enough. NPR's Carrie Kahn was there to witness it. She joins me from the Honduran capital, Tegucigalpa. Carrie, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get to this development, can you just explain why the situation in Honduras is so much worse than in the other countries of Central America? I mean, El Salvador, Guatemala, they're also on the drug route, right?
Okay, I'll just give you a short answer. I think it is drugs, gangs, and geography. Honduras has this 400-mile-long border on the Caribbean, and that's where most of the cocaine shipments come in by sea. And in Central America, this is a big factor. It has the weakest government and state institutions. Few crimes are prosecuted here. We heard figures like 2% of all murders result in a conviction. So impunity is rampant, so is corruption, and that's just fertile ground for organized crime. And as you said, Honduras has tens of thousands of gang members, many of whom were deported from the U.S. And so put all these factors together, it's a perfect storm.
So now to that development we alluded to, that things might be changing. While you've been there this past week, the two largest gangs in the country announced that they are going to stop murdering, kidnapping, and extorting the population. Obviously, this must have come as very welcome news.
I think people really do hope it's good news. But look, you know, they made their announcement from a prison in San Pedro Sula, which is the second largest city here, but it is a city that's been traumatized by this gang violence. And talking about the press conference, there were actually two press conferences because they were made by different gangs, and they have to be housed in completely separate sections of the prison or they'll kill each other. So first we were escorted to one side where the Mara Salvatrucha gang is housed, then we were taken over to the 18th Street gang side of the prison. And they had their faces covered with bandanas, many were wearing sunglasses, one guy disguised his voice the whole time. They're covered in tattoos, they're all over their body and their faces too, and a lot of the tattoos have these symbols from LA because they come from Los Angeles. They have Dodgers logos. They even have 213, and that's LA area code. Essentially, they just said they're ready to renounce all violence. But they didn't say was that they were going to stop fighting each other. So technically, it's not a truce, but they're no longer going to murder, extort, or kidnap. They also repeatedly asked the country and God for forgiveness.
Do people believe them? I mean, what's in it for them?
I just think like many of the people here, they're sick of the violence. They can't take it anymore. And we asked them, you know, how can you enforce this? You're inside prison. And one guy said, I decide what happens inside and out. And people on the street told us this is definitely true. But mediators between the gangs, the Roman Catholic bishop here and a representative from the Organization American States, they said, look, Honduras is like a war zone. And this is a peace process. And as in all peace processes, it takes time. But everybody called it a great first step. We talked to family members affected by the gangs. One family that most of the men have fled to the U.S. or Mexico because of murder threats, they said they don't want to hear the gang's apology for them. It's too little too late. And I'll tell you another story. Our taxi driver pays a weekly rent, so-called rent, to the gang. He says he still had to pay this week's rent. And it really is no small sum. He has 8 taxis, and he pays about $400 a month, which is incredible here in Honduras.
So, Carrie, to what extent is the U.S. government involved in any of this? I mean, the drug trade directly affects American cities. As you said, these gangs have members that are from the U.S.
Congress put a hold on some of the anti-drug fighting money. I've spoken with members in Congress who've told me that they just believe there are no trustworthy actors to work with here in the country. But the State Department continues to fund police crime fighting and training initiatives. I spoke with the U.S. ambassador to Honduras, and she says, look, we just can't turn our back on Honduras right now. There are honest actors that we can find and work with to change the situation. They deserve our backing.
NPR's Carrie Kahn, she joined us from the Honduran capital, Tegucigalpa. Carrie, thanks so much.
You're welcome.